Odd Tempo is a production of the Classical Network. Funding for this program is provided in part by the Frank and Lydia Bergen Foundation and by listener members like you. Become a member at wwfm.org. Thank you. Welcome to Odd Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host for this journey into issues facing the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues these organizations are facing. We'll look at the impact of the economy, technology, and society on the arts, the importance of arts education, and how these organizations and ensembles are adjusting and innovating as they face the future. Memorial Day weekend traditionally starts off the summer vacation season, so tonight we'll hear from two authors of books with musical themes. I'll talk with pianist Carol Mont-Parker, whose book The Composer's Landscape looks at the scores of piano music by eight of the great composers for that instrument. And I'll also chat with Jack Cole, author of the murder mystery novel That Iron String. If you're more into fiction, the book That Iron String by Jack Cole weaves together the hidden past of two piano-playing cousins in a small Long Island town with a series of mysterious deaths at piano competitions. I met up with Cole to talk about how he came up with the idea and some of the piano imagery he uses as part of the plot.
I started with a very generic outline of struggle and victory. At the same time, I thought that was something of a cliche. And I was at a music festival many years ago, chamber music, the kind of summer music festivals that are all over the place. And to no one's fault, I was not assigned enough to do. So I had a lot of time to myself to watch others play. And again, not to my credit, but just a natural human reaction, I started to feel resentment and think, wow, I wish either I was doing that or why am I not more engaged? And then I thought to myself, well, I can't blame anybody. What brought me to this point? And then as a kind of light bulb moment, I realized it was the music that had brought me to that point. And so then I imagined, what if one had a pianist who was of a skill level way beyond myself? Somewhat like, as in the book Conversations with Glenn Gould by Jonathan Cott, where Gould references the notion of being able to freeze an ideal and call upon it and summon it at any time. And I thought, what if you had a pianist who had that kind of ability, and yet was such an idealist that he couldn't blame his fellow man if his career started to go downhill, as so many pianists find is the case, because the market can produce way more consummate pianists than the market can bear. And I thought, what if you had someone who had that experience, yet was, again, such an idealist that he could not blame humanity? What would he blame? And in his madness, I thought I would follow the Ahab-like mantra of blaming some kind of abstraction. And in that case, it would be the music itself.
What is it, particularly about a piano and the relationship of the piano to pianist, that makes it such a compelling theme?
Although I think all instrumentalists log countless hours with their instrument, I think because the piano cannot be carried in a way, because it is so heavy, because it is so monstrous and so forbidding, it is such an industrial revolution object that I think is easy to personify to a certain degree. I remember in being impressed by the movie Hoosiers. There's a moment in the movie where the Gene Hackman character wants to impress upon the basketball players that the state finals should not be any more intimidating to them because the basketball court is the same dimensions as their little high school court. And no matter where one goes when they're playing a piano, that dimension is the same. And I think that universal can haunt a pianist, that he's always in the same place no matter where he goes when he's looking down. After a while, if you mix that in with a little bit of murder and madness, I can imagine that becoming an object of resentment. At least I did for the madman of this book.
Throughout the book, you have quite a lot of allusions and direct references to the physicality of the piano, the way it's constructed. How did you bring those together to kind of weave that into the images and ideas you were trying to convey? And in fact, the title, That Iron String, what was your concept in naming it that?
The phrase, That Iron String, comes from Emerson's Self-Reliance. I think I'm at risk of paraphrasing it at the moment, but I think it's, you know, each heart beats or vibrates to that iron string, you know, trust thyself. That in part served the piano imagery, but also it served the notion of the borrowing from Moby Dick in the notion of Melville using Emersonian transcendentalism in a high burlesque of the idea of being able to attack something in nature, a single object, and attribute to it all of the evils that are assailing man and be able to strike that. In terms of the actual piano imagery, when I was at the pre-college of Juilliard, I had a wonderful teacher, Leonard Eisner, I came to my lesson, and there were two wonderful Steinways in all of these rooms. But for some reason, in the studio that day, they were storing a large, very, very square-shaped harpsichord. And I just made some passing remark on it, and I was maybe 16. And my teacher shuddered at it, and I asked him, why did he shudder at it? And he said, it looked so much like a coffin. And of course, we all see recitals, some of the most beautiful recitals that are New Year's Eve recitals or galas, where there'll always be a plethora of flowers placed on the edge of the stage, and there'll be a big, gigantic piano for all the world looking somewhat like an open casket funeral. And that always logged in my head as imagery. Then somehow all of that fused with a old funeral parlor in the town that I grew up in Northport, all somehow bespoke the setting that seemed absolutely essential when the book was started.
That was Jack Cole, author of the murder mystery novel, That Iron String. More information is available at jacksoncole.com, and you can hear more of my conversation with him as an A-Tempo Extra on our webcast page at wwfm.org. My interview with him was recorded at the Domena Center for Classical Music. On your summer vacation or any time of the year, the Classical Network strives to bring you the best of classical music. If you enjoy the music you hear on this station, show your support by becoming a member. You can make a donation to the Classical Network anytime on our website at wwfm.org. Thank you. Thank you for joining me for A-Tempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. An archive of recent shows can be found anytime at our webcast page at wwfm.org. Join me next week for another look at the changing world of the performing arts. A-Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and wwfm.org.